So as we get started, how many of you are new here since 2013? Raise your hand. Raise it high if you could. Okay, so if you look around, that means that since basically October of 2013, that the people prior to you made a sacrifice so that you could come to church and worship in a nice, new, updated, clean environment. And because of their sacrifice, you're here. Some of you walked in and you fell in love with this place and you fell in love with the people. And so 6 years ago when we started this endeavor, we're going to do much like we did back then. We're going to be talking about really generosity and giving over the next few weeks. And I mentioned that as pastors, Pastor Jason and I were talking about that this morning. We hate talking about money, okay? Can I just be honest? We're not big fans of it. And here's why. Even though you will find more in the scriptures, Jesus does talk more about money than he does heaven or hell combined. He talks a lot about money. But the reason we don't, it's not a big thing that we love to do. It's because if you're new here and you walk through the door, and some of you, I know some of you, I've met you already. This is your first week here. And it could be that you have not been to church in 5 years. And the last time you were to church, someone was talking about giving. And you walk through the door and it's like, oh, great. Message is the same. They haven't changed anything. They're still talking about money. Well, I say all that to say, listen, we haven't talked about money in 6 years. And you're sitting in this place comfortably with a renovated sanctuary because those people gave. And so just like 6 years ago, we don't want to make it big about money, but we're going to talk about God today. We're going to talk about God and his attributes and what he has done for us. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. That is what the Holy Spirit had Paul write down. And we do. We want to remember Jesus. We want to remember what he has done for us. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you have come to the place where you have by faith acknowledged your sin and turned your life over to Jesus Christ. He is totally in the process of changing you. He is changing you little by little. He's changed your life for all eternity. He has given you a future and a hope. He has and is doing a marvelous work in your life. And so what I thought I'd do this morning is really talk about this God that we serve and we love a little bit. What is he like? What are some of his characteristics? What are some of the ways that he works? Who is he? And so we're gonna do that. I'm gonna look at 10 things. There's more than 10. I had to trim the list down, but we're going to go through these, and hopefully you'll catch a picture for where we're going with this. First of all, and this is in your notes, our God is the creator and sustainer of all things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And that includes your life. He has your life. He's made your life. You are here today because God has sustained you. He has given you life, and he has given you breath, and he has given us air to breathe. And so we have this God who not only made this world and the beauty of it. Did you see today? Wasn't today beautiful? It's the first day in like a month that we have nice sunshine. I thank you for coming to church. I was almost going to skip, you know, but I had to preach. But he's made this beautiful world that we live in, and he sustains it, and he keeps it going, and he does it for his glory. Secondly, our God is holy. The scripture says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And the root word of holy means pure and without sin. But it means much more than that, the holiness of God. Really, words we we struggle to understand and comprehend what God's holiness is. God is holy means that God is God. The very godness of God means that he is separated from all that is not like him. He is absolute perfection. He is absolute purity. He is the God of the universe, and we can only be in awe of him. To know that this God is pure and all of his attributes are governed by his holiness. So his love is a holy love. His justice is a holy justice. His mercy is a holy mercy. All of his attributes are governed by who his holiness. And there is none holy like the Lord. There's none. And the amazing thing is that the only way we're going to be able to stand before a holy God is because our Savior went to the cross and he died on our sin. He died for our sins. And he imputed to us the righteousness of his holy Son, Jesus Christ, that we would stand pure before him. How are you going to make it to heaven? Because you're good? Because you go to church? No, we will be before him in righteousness because Christ died for us. He has redeemed us. He has taken our sins and removed them as far as the east is from the west. And the amazing thing is that it says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who is called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are to be set apart. We are to be different from the world. So, not only is our God holy, our God is purposeful. It says in Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. All things. God is not random in his actions. He is not random in his working in our lives. He is not disconnected. God has a purpose not only for our lives. He has a purpose for this church. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose to use you. He has a purpose in even the difficulties that you run into. Our God does not waste these things. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Which is something that is mind-boggling. This God that we serve doesn't waste it. He doesn't waste the things that go on. There's nothing that happens that is outside of his plan and his purpose. He wants to use us. He wants to work in our lives. Number four, our God is all-powerful. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. He is powerful. He is powerful over the nations. He's powerful over the world. He works in ways that we cannot even believe or comprehend. He is the God that does all things. He is so powerful that he works in ways that he can change people's lives. Think about your life. He changed you. He did a work in your life. And he's done a work in my life. The word says, our God is in the heavens and he does all that he pleases. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? And he does these things for us. Number five, our God is all-knowing. It says in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Think about this. He has searched you and he knows you. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my paths and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows you. He knows what's going on. He knows what you're thinking this very moment. And this magnificent God who knows you, knows what you're thinking, knows what you did last night. In his mercy, he does not judge you. He does not send you to a place of torment. He is loving and he is gracious and he knows the struggles that you're having and he is working in ways that we cannot even imagine or comprehend. Number six, our God is merciful and loving and forgiving. That's what it says in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. It says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgression and sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. You ever ponder how merciful and how loving and how forgiving this God is towards you, towards me? He does treat us far better than we deserve. Number seven, our God is perfect. It says, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. In him, there's no darkness at all. There is no sin in our God. He is perfect. The God we serve, the God you serve, is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. You and I make mistakes, but not this God that we serve. He is perfect in all of his ways. Number eight, our God cares. Do you realize that he cares for you? He says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares. He cares about what you're thinking. He cares about the struggles that are going on. He cares about the little things and the big things. He cares about this world. He so loved this world that he gave his son. That's whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. He cares about the orphans. He cares about the widows. He does care about the disabled. He cares about people who are lost and are hurting. And he wants us to care for them as well. It says in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so the Lord exults over those who are his people. And so he cares. Matter of fact, the scripture says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from the will of the Father? And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? Is he not going to care for you? There's times where we feel, oh, you know, God doesn't care, but he does care. Number nine, our God is the owner of everything. Psalm 50, verse 10, for every beast of the field is mine and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that all the birds of the hills and all that moves in the field is mine. We serve a massive God who does. He owns everything. It says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, when you understand this, can I just tell you this? When you understand this, this is freeing. This really is freeing. It says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. So, for those of you who maybe weren't here 6 years ago, or those of you that were young 6 years ago, for some of you, you were 6 years old and now you're 12. For those of you that were 12, you're now 16, and hopefully you have a job. If not, let me just echo your parents. Get a job. Get a job. Your parents don't want you living in your basement when you're 30 years old, unless it's appropriate. Got to be careful what I say there. Last time I said that, someone who was living with their mom was, like, highly offended. It's appropriate at times, but I just say this. When you get this truth, some of you were like 16 years old. Now you're getting out of college, and you're starting to make money for the first time in your life. And I just need to encourage you that Every penny you have or will ever make is not yours. It's not yours. It is the Lord's. Everything we have, everything we own, everything you have in your bank account, everything you have in your 401k or your pension or whatever you have, everything you have in your closet, everything you have in your garage, everything you have in your basement, it's the Lord's. And what is amazing is this truly is transformational, because some people, you know what people struggle with? You know what the most sensitive part of your body is? Your wallet. It is. Because people get squirrely when you start talking about money. Because people will say, it's mine. And I've even had people say to me, you don't know how hard I've worked. And I'll just quote to them, Deuteronomy 8:18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Again, every penny you have, and some of you have worked hard, you've gone to school, you've prepared well, but even in that, it is God who has given you the ability to do that. It says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. Which, by the way, if you know that truth, it will set you free. So many people in our society get so anxious over money. And it's his. It truly is his. He gives it to us. There's one more thing that I want to talk about before we partake of the Lord's table, is that our God saves. Our God is a God who saves. In Psalm chapter 68 and verse 20, our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongs deliverance from death. We are here today because we worship the God of the universe, who in his love and in his mercy made a way that we could be forgiven of our sins. And if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says we will be saved. We will be delivered from the wrath of God that we deserve. But in his love, he died that we could be forgiven and have purpose and meaning and life and a future and a hope. I was at a conference over the last couple days, and they said, ask people the question, how do you think the world's going to be for your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren? And the universal answer around, even outside the work anywhere, is not good. And we all know that. Things aren't getting better and better. And yet we as believers, because we serve this massive God who has it all in his hands, he has it. And so we do have hope. We do have a reason to rejoice. We do have a God who is working in this world. We have a God who is in control, and he is using us to be his instruments to let people know of the salvation of Jesus and what he has done for us. And so to know, as we turn our eyes to the Lord's table, that he's this huge God that owns everything, has your life. And if you're here today and Jesus has died for your sins and you have acknowledged your sin and you have turned and you have repented and you've given him your life, then you have something to remember. What a glorious truth that we can come to the God of the universe, and he has instituted the Lord's table that we can remember him. And we can remember what he's done. Because I'm just going to lay this all right now. I'd like to just put my cards on the table here. You're either going to look at this capital campaign and what we're trying to do, and you're either going to get irritated. You're going to, some people, I told the staff going into this, some people will leave over this, which is really sad. Or But you're going to sit there and you're going to say, you know what? If one person comes through this door, because they hear that we are handicap accessible, because we've had people come in with wheelchairs, their kids in a wheelchair, and they're trying to get into church, and where's the nursery? Downstairs. How do you get there? We can't. And they leave. And some of those families don't know God and don't know the gospel. If there's one that comes to the doors, who comes to know Jesus, and then becomes a missionary in their family, this $600,000, that's worth millions in my book. So some of you are going to, because the danger is like, it's my money, it's my life, don't talk about money, I'm irritated, I'm out of here. And some of you are going to say, okay, and you'll pray about it, and you'll give as the Lord leads you. And the great thing is, just like there are some of you here now that people sacrificed 6 years ago, and the great thing is, some of you have come to know Jesus because you walked into this beautiful place and you felt warmed and you felt loved. And through that course of time, the Holy Spirit worked. And now you're going to partake of the Lord's table. And it has meaning to you. And all I say to that is, to God be the glory. So we have a God who saves. We have a God who works. And as we partake of his table, it is worship. He's the one that has your life. He has everything. He is the one who says, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. If you're here today and you have never started a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then maybe today is that the day where you turn and you surrender to him. And for those of you who may be like, I'm still not there, then don't partake. This is a table for believers. Doesn't matter what church you're from. If you're here and you know Jesus as your Savior, then partake. The Bible also gives another warning before you partake of the Lord's table. Don't do it in an unworthy manner. If there's things in your life, even attitudes that are not right, you need to turn from those. You need to repent. You need to tell the Lord the truth about what's going on, which, by the way, he knows, because he knows all things, which is amazing. So just tell the truth. So we're going to go to the Lord right now, and I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, and as the servers are coming forward, I'm just going to ask you to examine your hearts. Father, we come before you today and we acknowledge that you are the holy, infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God of the universe who does have our lives, owns our lives, owns everything. And Lord, we come humbly before you in gratitude for what you have done for us. Lord, as we come to this table of remembrance, may we do it with clean hearts and clean hands. And for those that even have repented and are repenting now, Lord, thank you that you're the God who forgives and is merciful. And Lord, as we partake, may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to have the servers come up, and as the plates are passed, if you could take the tray and take the cup, and then pass the tray along.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice.
Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. Let's do that. Lord, as we hold this bread in our hands, we are humbled to know that you so loved us, you so cared for us, that you sent your only Son to be the payment for our sins, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And Lord, you have opened our eyes and you have given us life and you have given us a future and a hope. And so all of that was because Christ went through the suffering for us. And we remember that and we give you thanks and we partake of this bread in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. Afterwards, he took the cup. He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you for the cup. Lord, thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that covers my sins and the sins of the whole world, Lord. And for those who it is effective that we have by faith come to Jesus and have received that free gift, and now our sins are forgiven, and we marvel, and we say thank you, and we give glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake. Scripture says, whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're going to stand right now, and we're going to sing, and then we're going to conclude.
We continue with the greatness of our God.
Oh Lord my God.
I'm
Lord, we say that from the bottom of our hearts. Help us to live in a way that would make our Savior and our Lord to be glorified in whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do. May we do it all for the glory of our Savior. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.